Dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that you speak to us through your word. Grant us grace so that we may hear your word this morning. And also, Lord, we want to be doers of your word. We thank you for all who have gathered here today, and we ask that you be with those who are not feeling well or maybe on vacation this morning. Keep them safe. Father God, renew our spirits and fill us with your peace and joy. Amen. So we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And as a believer and as a leader, Nehemiah needed to work endlessly. And he felt he needed to work perfectly while dealing wisely with the enemies who were against him. As Christians, we too need to live lives that resemble the life of Jesus. We ought to make wise decisions when sharing or spending time with those, especially those who are not believers. We will never be perfect, but we should never set out to break the laws of God. A friend of mine recently shared that he would probably go to church if Christians weren't such hypocrites. I asked for some examples why he would say that. And all of his examples came from when he was in high school. Either other students who would go to church on Sunday and would not be behaving properly the rest of the week, and even adults. He knew of some adults that were going to church on Sunday and not behaving properly the rest of the week. The sad thing is that his mind was made up as a teenager about coming to church. I shared that a Christian is a person who simply tries to act like Jesus. And recognizing that we all fall short allows us to view and change our actions and change our words so that we can move forward with forgiveness. With forgiveness, we are better prepared to turn to Jesus. Mark Masters has written, "Holding up high moral, ethical, and social standards is very difficult because if one falls short of being the perfect example, then one becomes the target and hypocrite, alibi, well-meaning, of course." And I can remember thinking, do I want to tell my friends I'm a believer and that I do fantastic, fun things on the weekend? What if I goof up? Right? I can remember thinking that when I was in high school. I am so glad and very blessed that God placed people in my life who were believers. They enjoyed studying about him. They enjoyed becoming more like him. And they took on the challenge of caring for others, doing it, getting out there, and serving others. I do not think of any of them thought that they themselves were super dynamic leaders. However, their lives were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And as you got to know them, you could see that. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit so that people look at us and watch us and know that we have God's Spirit in our heart? I'm reading from Nehemiah 6, starting at verse 1. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Nehemiah and his followers were building the wall around Jerusalem. Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but I realized that they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending to them, "I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and to meet with you?" 4 times they sent that same message, and each time I gave the same reply. The 5th time, Sanballat's servants came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. "There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me that it is true. and that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to reports, you plan to be their king. Isn't it frustrating when somebody says to you, I heard, I can't remember who said it, but I know, right? And that was going on thousands of years ago. Nehemiah 6, verse 7. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you, look, there is a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king, so I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You are making this whole thing up. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. And so I continued the work with even greater determination. This building of the wall around Jerusalem became a good foundation for God's work to be done that day and for the future. God saw Nehemiah's heart, and Nehemiah was trusting God, and he never took his eyes off the Lord, and he never complained. He stayed the course. The letter sent by the opposition had the appearance of being a friendly note, but it was to bring fear. Nehemiah knew taking on a meeting would delay with the completion of the wall, and he had nothing to share. He had nothing to share with those who were wanting to meet with him. He was not deceived by the outward appearance of kindness. He was equipped with discernment. David Guzik defines discernment as the ability to judge matters according to God's view of them, and not according to their outward appearance. Man, some of us jump to conclusions right away, including me. Slow down. Pray. Think about the situation. Nehemiah recognized the plan of his Lord, and he stuck with God's plan. Next, Nehemiah tried to Sanballat tried to slander Nehemiah into meeting. Everyone is saying this about you. He was gossiping, trying to get Nehemiah to become angry. Nothing he said was true, but I can only imagine that it was a bit hurtful. Doesn't it hurt when you hear someone saying something negative about you or share something that's not true? Why is it that people lean in a little bit more to hear something of the negative? People will talk, but here is a lesson that I pulled from this. Don't let your imagination run wild with you. Don't think the worst. Know that the people who know your heart. Do not change your faith-filled ways to please anyone. Nehemiah's close relationship with the Holy Spirit allowed him to see the wolf in sheep's clothing. Turn to the Lord and pray. Pray for that person who is slandering you. Oh, that's so tough, right? But it's doable. Trust God. Pray for God's strength. Ask specifically for what you need. Specifically. Romans 23:8 reads, if God is for me, who can be against me? Let's pick up in Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 10. Later, I went to visit Shemaiah, son of Delaiah, and grandson of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home. And he said, let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the door shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. But I, Nehemiah, replied, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin, and then they would be able to accuse and discredit me. Remember, oh my God, all the evil things that Tobiah and Sanballat have done, and remember Nodiah, the prophet, and the prophets like her have tried to intimidate me. Nodiah was a false prophetess who brought anger into the walls of the city of Jerusalem. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of God. During those 52 days, many letters were sent back and forth between Tobiah and the nobles of Judah. For many in Judah had sworn allegiance to him because his father-in-law was Shaniah, son of Ara, and his son Johanan was married to the daughter of Mushalam, son of Berechiah. And they kept telling me about Tobiah's good deeds, and then they told him everything I said, and Tobiah kept sending threatening letters to intimidate me. Knowing that only priests were allowed in the temple, Nehemiah would not enter it as it was suggested. He also knew that he would not be able to lead his people and continue building if he was hiding inside the temple. Again, fear was used to get Nehemiah to disobey God, and the bullies continued to try to discredit and disgrace him. He stayed true to his witness, and he would not compromise. Nehemiah committed the situation to God. He stood on God's word. Without godly leadership, the wall may be standing there for another hundred, maybe thousands of years. But that was not God's plan. Nehemiah was seeking God's plan first. If you would open your Bible to Matthew 6:33, it's on page 685. Let's read 33 and 34 together. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The song Seek Ye First is inspired by Matthew 6:33. And that beautiful song that we sang this morning. It gives us three steps to recognize. First is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look for him and listen to him. Lean in and trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Be specific in what you need, in what you're asking for. He loves to hear from you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Read God's word and share God's word. Start a discussion with someone about God's word. When we turn to him for comfort and reassurance, his plan becomes ever more evident to each of us. Nehemiah did that. He did what he was supposed to do as a godly man and as a leader for his community. It was really God's work. And Nehemiah gave credit where it was due. It was God's will. Can you imagine the commitment of Jesus Christ, the commitment that he made over and over again in his lifetime for us. He never gave in to false friendships. He never added to slanderous conversations. He never changed his faith to please others. As the Son of God, there were things that he could have done to avoid a most horrible death on the cross. But he chose not to. For each of us, it was God's will. Jesus is worth every ounce of admiration and thankfulness for his life. I appreciate Nehemiah's ability to be willing to let the lies and attacks go. All that hurtful, negative stuff. He let God take care of what would happen next. Ooh, we can do that. Let God take care of what will happen next. Remember the wise statement of the 86-year-old person, my mom, that I shared last week? She said, "I'm not going to let what others say bother me at all." If you're walking with Jesus, if you have his light in your heart, don't worry about what other people are saying. Carry on. God used Nehemiah to fix the problem that was there for over 100 years. And Nehemiah was able to do it in less than 2 months to build the walls of protection, to build the temple. He had a shepherd's heart. He took seriously the need to protect God's people. Nehemiah never compromised his faith at the task at hand. If he had compromised, he would have lost his protection. He was able to stay strong in his faith and resist the attacks of Satan. Psalm 141, verse 3 reads, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." In today's world, many people simply share everything and anything that comes to their minds. Most of it becomes so negative and argumentative that they then become compromised. It is best to keep talking your faith. Do not ruin your witness. Talk your faith. We are called to shine light into this world of darkness. It feels as though it keeps getting darker all the time. And we do find ourselves wondering why or what next. But when we are able to walk in love, we are able to walk peacefully and joyfully. Even among those who put us down, we will find others being drawn to Christ, being drawn to Christ through you and your words and your love and your actions. When we refuse to compromise, we draw oh so closer to God. Just imagine, God is able to use each one of us just as he used Nehemiah. Wow. That's a gift to each of us. Open up that gift. Walk in your faith. Serve others. Be that shining light. Our God is an amazing God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. Allow us to stand strong in our faith and allow us to stand strong with you. Give us strength to not give in to compromise in our walk. Continue to encourage us each day. Allow us, Lord, to live purely before you without compromise to the world. May we bring glory and honor to your name in all that we do, as you conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.